This is a News Radio 1440 podcast.
It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. George Washington.
Welcome back. You are listening to Tactics on News Radio 1440 and News Radio 1440.com. 860-1440 are the numbers. You can call me in at that number, or you can tweet me at Tactics Radio, and any of that is acceptable. We take those. I'd love to hear what you have to say on this subject in particular. One thing that this shows, and for those of you who are just joining in, we were talking about a story where a lot of people are upset that, according to the guidelines, even though the guidelines don't specifically say this, that there will be nobody that is not the same religious group as a member of the House in the state of Oklahoma be allowed to come and offer the invocation. So that would, because there are no Muslim or Jewish members of the House, exclude them as well. Now, here's part of the issue that you're running into that a lot of the people on the left don't understand, a lot of the secularists don't understand. And when I say people on the left, this does not mean that I think that all people on the left are non-religious. I'm just saying, of the two camps, one is far less likely to be religious than the other. I can go through Pew Research poll after Pew Research poll, so on and so forth, of studies that show that typically the more religious people, the ones that attend church more regularly, those are the ones that happen to be more on the right most of the time. But what a lot of people on the left and a lot of people that have bought into this whole new secularist movement do not understand about more traditional religious people is, if you've never studied religion or given it a lot of thought, you don't understand this idea of exclusivity. Because to all of the major world religions, their doctrine, their teaching, says that they are exclusive. All of them. They say we're right and other religions are wrong, which, by the way, is perfectly logical. Because if you have two statements next to each other, and what they say contradicts each other, they can both be wrong, but they can't both be right. And so, if you're talking to Jewish individuals and reading through their doctrine in the Torah, it says that the Lord your God is one God. And if you're worshiping idols or any god other than that God, then you are in the wrong. You are committing sin. You are rebelling against your Creator. When we're looking at Muslim teaching, it says that anyone who does not confess Muhammad and Allah is not right with God, that they are committing some kind of error. And if you're looking at religion in the sense of Christianity, it says exactly the same thing. This comes from John 14:6. When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's pretty clear. You either come to God through Jesus, or you don't come to God at all. That's your only two options. And we saw a little bit of this a while back when Bernie Sanders, the senator, was questioning one of Trump's appointees and was very vindictive because he had written a column a while back for The Resurgent where he said that he believed that Muslims were in error and that only Christians are going to heaven. And so Bernie Sanders was very quick to label this man a religious bigot, but that's what Orthodox Christianity teaches. That's what the gospel teaches. That's what Jesus Christ himself teaches. And so because of that, Christians can say, well, I believe my religion is right and everybody else is wrong, because you can't have two contradictory statements, two contradictory doctrines, and say that they're both right. It doesn't work that way. The secularists may want to believe that all religions are created equal, that all ideas are the same, and that one religion will get you to heaven just as fast as the other one, but I'm sorry, that's simply not the case. And none of the world's major religions teach that. And they shouldn't necessarily teach that. And what I would like to bring up here is, what if you were to reverse this whole process? Like, let's say there was a town council in, let's say, Dearborn, Michigan, and it just so happened, because there's a large Muslim population, that every single member of the council or every single one happen to be Muslim. Well, I would love to go and speak to those people. I would love to talk to them about Christ and the Gospels. But if they don't invite me, I'm not going to push it. If they have a rule that says we're only going to have Muslims offer the invocation, that's their prerogative. That is up to them. And I'm not going to try to force my way in. I'll be happy to have a conversation with them, either as a group or on an individual level. But I do not understand this mentality that because members of the House in Oklahoma have this guideline that says, even if that was their motivation, even if they don't want people of other religious affiliations praying in front of them, I don't understand this mentality of trying to essentially bulldog your way into that position. If there is one thing that was consistent with Christ is that he loved people, he was compassionate with people, he taught them and to the best of his ability, and he was always there willing to have a conversation with anybody that wanted to. But you'll notice that after preaching and speaking his peace, if people didn't want to hear it, he moved on. And he taught his apostles to do the same thing. He said to shake the dust off of your feet for those who reject you and move on. And so this idea of trying to force your way in and force your way into a position where you're praying in front of people, I don't really even get the motivation there. Also, there are Satan worshipers now in Scottsdale, Arizona, that are suing the town for not letting them offer the invocation. But again, towns have the right to set up their own rules on that. And what's weird about this one is there's not even a temple there. There's not a satanic temple. So these are just a bunch of people that are malcontents and upset that a town in Arizona was not doing what they wanted it to do. And because of that, they decided to, even though they're not actually members of the town, decided to say that, no, you are going to accept us and you're going to allow us to do the invocation. Again, I don't understand the bully tactic here. Why would you want to do that? Wouldn't that just breed resentment against you later on trying to force your way in on someone like that? I really don't understand it. Another thing that was funny in this story, the Satan worshipers that were talking about this, they actually said that it's disheartening when public officials can display such a flagrant disregard for the most foundational bedrock principles. And then they go on to say, it's a shame that they're going to waste all this taxpayer money. I was like, well, if you're so concerned with taxpayer money, especially taxpayer money that's not yours, then wouldn't it be easier to just not sue them and try to resolve the matter outside of court? I don't know. It seems contradictory, but you don't have to appease every little fringe group that shows up, and that's never what the First Amendment was meant to say. Take it, Rush.
Tactics with Caleb Colquitt. Every weekday from 9 to 11, only on News Radio 1440 and NewsRadio1440.com.